The Trail Network podcast is brought to you by Sandy Boy Productions.
And then I feel better about everything because I think you do an incredible job of packing in like you're running wherever you can. And sometimes it cracks me up. It'll be like, Leah recorded a run at 10:30 p.m. near Salt Lake City. It's like, you know, you've had a long day and you're just out there doing what you can. And I really, really appreciate that. And I think that's really refreshing to be reminded of that because you can do big things. And I mean, we're going to dive into this more, but you've clearly done big things with low mileage, but high quality training. And I just think that that's really, I think, important because you see all these stories of people that are racking up crazy, like 100 plus mile weeks every week. And I don't think any of us could even fathom finding time for that.
Welcome to the Trail Network Pod. This is Katie.
This is Rachel.
This is Hillary.
And this is Leah.
And we are so excited to finally start this podcast that we've been working for. Let's talk about why we're doing a podcast.
Oh my gosh. This is crazy. This is really cool. First of all, just very cool to get to work with you guys on something like this. I know it's funny, like being in the sport together, how many times you see someone at a race and you're like, I just wish I had more time to connect and to dive in and here's a hug and hi and bye. And so I feel like this is really special and I'm very excited about that. And really this podcast is just born out of wanting to explore those connections more. And that's the magic of trail running. That's what we all love about it is the incredible community that we feel when we're at these races, when we're just a part of this sport. And I think that's really why we're all here. Like we want to take the opportunity to highlight some of those stories and to just be able to dive into some of these moments. And we're hopefully going to be able to just explore some of the cool parts of the sport and maybe in a way that hasn't been done before. So I personally am very, very excited and honored to be here with all of you ladies who I really admire and look up to so much in the sport. So that's really the heart and soul of it, right? That's the gist.
Yeah, I'm super excited too. I think just in my time as a trail runner, you know, it's been almost 10 years and there's just been so many really tender moments between competitors, between athletes and their crews that I am really eager to bring to life. I think a lot of these things we experience as people in the sport, but they're not always, you know, the stories that are told. So I'm excited to bring those to life.
Yeah. And I think for me, anytime somebody asks me what I love the most about trail running, my mind immediately goes to community. I come out of every event I do with new stories, new moments, new friendships, new experiences out on the trail against a competitor, with my crew, with my husband, Mike, taking photos on the sidelines, with just so many, the race directors, so many different individuals that have impacted my journey. And I'm hoping through this podcast that we can bring light to some of those special moments that don't always get highlighted in pre-race and post-race interviews, the ones that are kind of hidden and talked about back home. And I think those moments are some of the most special. And I think some of those ones that we can shed some light on and bring a lens to what it means to be part of the community in trail running.
Yeah, I love something that. For me, when I was looking at this year, you know how at the beginning of your year, you come up with a word or some people do that. And the word that I came up with was connection. And I think that connection amongst our sport is really something special. I think trail running has these unique attributes that no other sport has. And I'm also interested in these kind of head-to-head race recaps and also talking to business partners and race directors that are, you know, organizing races together, or spouses, partners, or crew and their runner, pacers and their runner. And I'm curious of those conversations that happen off the trail also, because there's a lot that goes into a race and the excitement of a race, but the journey to get to a race is a big deal. So I love, you know, I want to learn from these partners also. And I'm really excited to bring on people together that work together in this community onto the pod, ask them lots of questions. All right. Do we want to go around and kind of introduce ourselves and who we are? Because there's going to be people that listen to this podcast that don't know who we are. And I think it'd be a good idea for us to do a little brief intro into how we got into trail running, who we are, where we're coming from, that sort of thing.
You can start, Katie.
Okay, I'll start. I am Katie Asmuth, and I am living in Mammoth Lakes, California, and I am a mom of two boys, 7 and 9 year olds. And let's see, I run for Saucony, the feed, Gnarly Nutrition. I am, gosh, I've been running for probably 12 years now or so, but before that I was only a ball sport athlete. And so it was a big jump for me to get into trail, just definitely found my way. It almost feels as if trail running found me. And it is kind of cool because it coincided with being a mom in many ways. I was able to kind of dabble in trail, but really started getting serious once I became a mom. And I think a lot of parents will get this out there where you just need a little bit of space and some like alone time. So it actually, we laugh that the reason I became fell in love with the trails is because I got to spend a lot of time with them. Cause I was like, I gotta go get some mom time. and so that's kind of how I first started getting into trail. And my husband was doing triathlon at the time. And he would take off on 6-hour bike rides. And I was like, I'm not going to be the one staying at home with my two little kids. And while you go off and do adventures. And so I signed up for 100 miler. It's like, I'm just been a lot of time training. Anyways, and since then it's been an incredible journey of all the highs and lows. It's been a wild ride. I can kind of get into where I'm at like currently, maybe a little later, but now my kids are very much a part of this process and this trail running world with me and have crewed me and been with me at many a finish line. So that's a little bit about me, but yeah, I'm sidelined right now and we can get into that later. But Hillary, what got you into trail running?
Oh man. Well, don't have kids, have a very adorable rescue dog, Charlie. So he's basically my little child. And now he's actually at the point where he can run with me. So that's fun. But I got into trail running, it's over a decade now for me as well, which is crazy. And probably like 11 years. I was like a hiker. I wasn't a runner. I never did like college sports, high school sports at all. I grew up in like small town Vancouver. I actually grew up on a farm and I was homeschooled. And so I had a very like non-sport, but very active and outdoorsy childhood, and got into hiking when I was in my 20s. I was quite sick when I was in university. I ended up being diagnosed with celiac disease. So I spent a lot of time in the hospital for about a year and a half. And when I got better, I just started hiking and I just wanted to be outside. And through hiking, I met all these amazing people in the running community and they just like welcomed me in. And it felt like such a very safe space. And especially for me, I was like early 20s and I really like had kind of lost my purpose with the whole being sick. I'd had to do a withdrawal from school. And so I was really looking for something. And trail running just honestly saved me. Like it really changed my life and just gave me this community of people. And then they started telling me about all these crazy distances they were running. And they're like, you know, come and watch our 50K, come and crew our 100 miler. And I was like, this is a thing. And so that really was just kind of cool to dive into that. And I ran my first 50K in 2013. And I think I ran like 13 races that year because I was just so excited to like I was so into it. And then I just kind of collapsed and had to work out how to do it sustainably. I'm very grateful. Like trail running changed my life. And it's through trail running that I got into photography because I just saw that there wasn't any women that were out there taking photos. I mean, there still are barely any women in outdoor media. And so for me, that was just like, oh, well, all I have to do is like teach myself how to use a camera and then carry like 8 pounds of camera gear while I run. No problem, you know.
What can go wrong?
Yeah, I know. Plenty can go wrong. But I have enjoyed the challenge and it's kind of fun just to combine that. And then I never expected that to become my career. And I've been doing that for like almost 8 years now, full time, and just kind of gone into being a creative in the outdoor world. So it's really neat how much it's literally changed my life. So that's my journey with trail running.
Rach, your turn.
All right. Let's see. So trail running, interesting, Hillary, hearing you say you ran your first 50K in 2013. I ran my first 50K in 2014. So I feel like we kind of entered around the same era. And it's been really cool to see how the sport has changed just in a short decade. I am originally from Minnesota. I ran track and cross country there and got pretty burnt out from Division I athletics and moved out to Portland, Oregon, where I have been in school for the past 10 years doing an MD-PhD dual degree. Really excited to share that I am graduating in June. Well, technically, I already have both of my diplomas, but graduation is in June. And I just found out on Friday that I matched to anesthesiology residency at the University of Utah. So we'll be moving.
That's so exciting.
Moment of cheering.
Yeah.
So lots of exciting changes going on. But honestly, a big draw to Salt Lake City is the community there. Trail running has just given me so many wonderful lifelong friends. Also, I met my husband at that first 50K in 2014.
Did you really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, actually changed your life.
Changed Lou's life too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I should also mention I have a 1.5-year-old, Lewis. Yeah, he's just the best little guy. And ever since then, I mean, I've just like gotten, it feels funny to say I've gotten more serious about it, but I've just really wanted to, you know, see what I've been capable of. And through that have just like really dove into training and pushing myself and just seeing what's possible. So it's been the most wonderful ride and I've met the most wonderful people, you three included. And I'm really excited to get to dive deeper into all of that with this podcast.
I love that. And I'm so excited for you to move to Salt Lake City.
Jealous.
we're all moving.
No residency program. Katie.
We're going to hold down the fort over in California over here, Hillary and I. It's perfect.
But we know we have a home there, so that's great.
home.
We just show up at your door one day.
Yeah. Set up your own studio together. You guys could do it in person. How fun.
We should. Hey, we might.
Okay, Leah, tell us about you.
Yeah, so my journey to trail running, I feel like we're taking a step up in each conversation here. So I ran my first 50K in 2015. So entered the sport maybe a year or two after you guys.
Mine was 2015 too, Leah.
Yeah, so yeah,
I've been a nurse practitioner for 12 years. I got that messed up. I've been an NP for 12 years, but I've been running for 10 years. That's funny, right? Okay.
Yeah, so we all entered around the same era. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from the East Coast, I'm from Pennsylvania. So my first foray into trail running was actually the Virginia trail running scene. I think right around the time when I was 24 years old or so, I'd graduated college, didn't run competitively through college, but I did run my first marathon. I grew up playing basketball and soccer and being extremely competitive with my three sisters. We were all in high school at the same time, and we all ran on the cross country team together. And I'll always boast that my favorite athletic memory was going to the Pennsylvania State Championships, representing our Bishop McCort High School as four of the top five placements on our varsity cross country team, which to this day is still one of my proudest moments and one of the most special moments to be able to share those memories with my three sisters at the time. It was not always friendly competition amongst the four of us, but I hold those memories extremely near and dear to my heart. But something that was so special about those high school memories for me was just the community and those relationships that I formed and just deepened with my sisters at the time. And it was something that I was always looking for beyond high school. So in college, I ran marathons just kind of for fun, for mental reprieve. And then once I moved to Washington, D.C., around 2014, I started to explore the trails and find a trail running community there through the Virginia Happy Trail Running Community, which was an exceptional, really established trail community at the time. And for me, being a woman on trails who had in the past experienced a sexual assault while out running, I was really looking for protection at that time, for community, for people to make me feel safe exploring the world by my own two feet. And that was exactly what the Virginia Trail Running Community gave me at that time. And it was that push I really needed to feel safe, feel comfortable, and feel empowered to explore further distances on the trail because I had a community that was backing me. So that was back in 2014, 2015 timeframe, which happened to coincide with when I met my now husband, Mike, who at the time had run upwards of 50 to 75 ultras, ran his first 100 miler when he was like 20 years old. And I remember when I met him, I was like, I will never do a 100 miler. And I'm coming off a week where I just ran 400 miles. So I've changed a lot in the last years.
Little did you know.
There's an elephant in the room right now. Somebody's got to say it.
I am proof that minds can be changed. But I live in Salt Lake City now. I work full time in the medical device industry and cardiology as a biomedical engineer. And something that I really love about my balance in life is the fact that I can have a full time profession while still also pursuing trail running at a professional level. I run for Lululemon, The Feed, and Goo Energy, and I've loved establishing that balance over the years. It's extremely hard, and I know all of you guys can agree that it's not always easy. We all are balancing a variety of plates, but I think that's what makes trail running so satisfying and having a successful trail running career and having connections in the community so satisfying, because we can do a lot, and we're women in the sport, and we've shown that we can do a lot. So I think that's extremely empowering to me. And I'm excited to bring stories to the podcast that demonstrate, you know, a lot of the things like that we're passionate about.
I am so excited to share that the Trail Network is supported by Osprey Packs, the premier pack company and creators of my personal favorite trail running pack, the Dyna 6. I've used the same Dyna 6 for the past 7 years without anything breaking. I've taken it on long days in the mountains, and I've done races in it, including the CCC 100-kilometer race at UTMB. All their packs are extremely comfortable and have top-notch durability. I'm so grateful to our friends at Osprey for supporting our podcast. Go check them out at osprey.com or at your favorite retail store.
You know, Leah, one of the things I love is every time I feel like I'm not doing enough mileage, I go to your Strava page, and then I feel better about everything because I think you do an incredible job of packing in like your running wherever you can. And sometimes it cracks me up. It'll be like, Leah recorded a run at 10:30 p.m. near Salt Lake City. It's like, you know, you've had a long day and you're just out there doing what you can. And I really, really appreciate that. And I think that's really refreshing to be reminded of that, because you can do big things. And I mean, we're going to dive into this more, but you've clearly done big things with low mileage, but high quality training. And I just think that that's really, I think, important, because you see all these stories of people that are racking up crazy, like 100 plus mile weeks every week. And I don't think any of us could even fathom finding time for that, you know, very often. And so it's just like, I don't know, for me, having that little like transparency and just being able to be like, no, you know, whatever you can do is enough. And and you just do the best you can.
I know. I completely vibe with that mentality, just like always telling myself that you are enough and what you do is enough. And if there's a run that doesn't fit the schedule that day, or if it's mentally taxing, you know, cut it out. There's a lot of other ways that we fill our cup in life. And I think stress is stress is stress. Fatigue is fatigue. And fatigue comes in lots of different packages. So just recognizing what that means to your life, I think, is extremely valuable and nice to recognize. So yeah, I stand by that. I will always advocate for low mileage training. I think a lot of us here on the podcast can actually agree that that's something that we represent more often than not.
Rach, do you want to talk about your experience with that recently?
Yeah. Oh, like my Black Canyon 60 miles a week max training plan.
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
You did all right. It worked out okay.
Yeah. Leah was a big inspiration to that. I lived with Leah the month leading up to UTMB. So I had a close look into her training, and obviously she had an amazing top 10 performance there. And like just the joy, Leah, that you put into your training leading into that, and the day that you were able to put together with that. I think about that all the time. And as I was preparing for Black Canyon, I thought, honestly, I think a few years ago, if someone had said, you can only run 60 miles a week max, not even every week, but like that's your max mileage, preparing for a very competitive 100K, I think that would have stressed me out. I would have thought that wasn't enough, but I think seeing other people do it has shown me what's possible and also given me a lot of confidence in what you can get out of lower mileage. So I'm looking forward to more of that and, you know, starting to put together a Western States training plan and also hoping to, you know, keep it low mileage while still putting myself in a place where I can feel confident running my first 100-mile race.
It's going to be your first?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting. Okay, and Katie, I want to dive into how you're kind of balancing training too, but Rachel, just with everything you're doing with medical school, how do you find the balance right now? Do you feel like it just has to give with everything else that's going on in life, or are you kind of like, you know, are you just trying to get the 60 miles in no matter what, or like what does it look like for you as you're also uprooting your entire life and looking at your first 100-miler?
Yeah, it's so funny you bring that up, because actually I was talking to my neighbor the other day. She's like, you know, we were at the bakery with Tyler the other week and he kind of divulged your secret identities as professional athletes. She's like, I didn't know that you were sponsored by Nike and you guys like ran these races all over the world. Like, how do you do that? And you have a baby and you're in medical school. And I was like, okay, that sounds crazy when you put it like that, but I think the reality is that I'm not doing all three of those things like perfectly all at the same time. So like for the past 8 months, I haven't really done anything medical school. Like I made a poster for a conference recently, but I haven't been, you know, on rotation. I haven't been spending 80 hours a week in the hospital. But when I have those times where I'm spending 80 hours a week in the hospital, I'm running much less. I'm probably just doing easy maintenance mileage. I get a lot of help from other people. I mean, it's like there's always just this give and take. And I think having medicine and having a serious career has really, in a good way, forced me to not overdo it with my running. It's forced my training to breathe and like not be 100% all the time. It's like these forced breaks are really good. And then also when things happen inevitably, and Katie, I know you're dealing with an injury right now, but I always just think like, how horrible would it be if you had a really difficult injury and all you had was your job as an athlete and you can't do your job? Like that's really hard. It's already really hard when you can't run, but if you don't have anything else to pour your energy into, that makes it even harder. So I'm thankful to medicine for giving me another outlet.
That's a good perspective.
Yeah, it does for me. So I've been through a little bit of a saga. I was not expected, did not go according to plan, darn it. I very quickly will tell my story. But I think I'm hoping that it resonates with people out there that are sidelined right now, and to kind of keep the fire burning, because it's when you stay motivated, you stay engaged, you stay within the sport, it's like you will get back. You got to trust yourself. And yeah, there hasn't been one day that I haven't thought I'll be back and I'm training like I'll still be back to competing. But to give a little backstory, in 2022, so I raced Western States three times. The first time was I got fifth place. It was a great day, but wasn't good enough. And the second time I came in like ready. I wanted to win that race so bad. And that day I broke my foot and I was racing and I had just extraordinarily like horrible pain, but it was like, whatever, it's a race. Like I didn't know it was broken. I've never broken a bone in my life. I'm usually pretty like, I don't have a lot of injuries. So anyway, I ended up finishing ninth, and it was, I want to call it a big success because I was able to finish that race, even though I was in a lot of pain and went through a lot of hardship that day, but also I learned a lot. Definitely didn't think my foot was actually broken though. And then to find out 10 days later, it was broken. I was super sad. Went through surgery and non-weight bearing and went through the whole recovery process and finally was cleared to start running, and then was able to run and race for 7 months last year, 2023, and had the best Western States of my life. I was like on a high, got fourth place. I took an hour off my PR. I was like, sky's the limit. And then 10 days after the race, felt a tiny bit of pain again. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I went back to the get a CAT scan that same day that I had the pain. Back to talking about a village, Rachel, it's been so important having a village. And one of my good friends is an ED doc who was like, let's go right now, come in. So I got a CT that day and found out that the fracture never totally healed. So spent 15 weeks in an ortho boot, hoping that it would heal conservatively, and then it didn't. So then I'd have surgery again. And this time it was more invasive with a plate and 3 pins and bone graft and the whole thing. And then I was in 7.5 weeks in a cast and non-weight bearing and with a scooter, and then with the scooter with an ortho boot, and then weight bearing on the heel only with the ortho boot, and then in the ortho boot. And anyway, so now I'm still in the ortho boot. It's been a time, y'all. I'm in an ortho boot, but I get reprieve 2 hours a day of training on the bike and like at the gym. Sometimes I do like 2.5, 3, kind of depends. I'm pretty like taking this really conservatively though. They've cleared me really all day. And they said, if you really want to take this like very conservatively, just stay in the ortho boot most of the day. So I'm doing that. And then starting in April, I'll take the ortho boot off and be able to be fully without the ortho boot and back to some elliptical and hiking. And that will be amazing. So I can't wait for that. But I'm definitely like playing the long game. So for the people out there that are injured and have dealt with this wild ride, it sucks. I mean, straight up, but I definitely haven't let it deter my motivation, and almost gives me this like love of the sport even more, because you understand that really every step, I mean, literally every step, just to be able to stand is a gift after spending so many months not being able to. So the fact that I will be without an ortho boot soon is really exciting for me, spending most of the last 2 years in one or in a cast. So it's been a time. It's been I'm really, 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 really looking forward to getting back to TOA start line. But I'm also just like loving being a part of the community in other ways. And I think that's something else when we talk about what's special about trail running is you can be a part of trail running in lots of ways, right? Like either you're racing, but you can also crew and you can also pace and you can also, I'm helping race organize for the Mammoth Trail Fest, and I'm involved in lots of, you know, community groups and starting this podcast. It feels as if you can still connect in a lot of different ways besides actually racing. And I'm the biggest fangirl over here and proud fangirl. And love doing race commentary. And it's just been really fun to be involved in the sport through a different lens. And so, yeah, I think it's been a bummer, but I'm also like, see light at the end of the tunnel. It's coming. It's there. It's squinty. You got to squint for it, but it's there. So day by day. Anyway, that was long-winded. Sorry. But yeah, a little bit about me right now. I don't want it to be a part of my identity either. So I kind of hate talking about it, but it turns out that this is my day to day right now. So, but
side note to Katie's fangirling, I ran into Katie at Courmayeur at 2 a.m. at UTMB last year. And I think I had more fun just like basking in your enthusiasm for the sport than I've had in like years. And I'm a pretty happy person. Like, we were just on another level, like blowing raspberries into the glass of the
we were a little delirious. We were also crewing Leah and you're crewing Tyler. I mean, I feel as if like that was a night, you know? I mean, you're up all night crewing your runner. Those are the best moments. That's the magic we're talking about that we want to bring to light, right? Really? Raspberries on the Courmayeur aid station glass.
Yeah, they wouldn't let us go in there. There's only one person, so that was the best we could do.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. So that's a little bit about me. Does Leah want to give a little taste about what you've gone through? I mean, you mentioned that you just ran 400 miles. Do you want to talk about your current moment?
Yeah, I'll touch on it a little bit. I don't know if we'll dive into this on a future podcast, but we might.
And oh, what a tease. What a tease.
But yeah, I'm most recently coming off, and when I say recently, I mean within the last week, I finished my first ever 6-day race, which was put on by Lululemon for 10 of their global ambassadors. It was titled Further, and it was very much an opportunity to explore human potential. And human potential for the 10 different global ambassadors meant something different. So we had athletes out there who at this time last year had never run a 5K. And then we also had women up to the level of Camille Herron, who was going after slews of world records at this event. So it ran the gamut. I went into the event kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with what I was capable of and like what I was targeting. And I'll be the first to tell you that it's extremely difficult to set goals for an event that is 6 days long and an event that you've never done and you never even anticipated doing. So I ended up hitting 400 miles, which I'm very proud of. It was extremely difficult, and I cannot tell you how many times I pivoted throughout the event and how many times I leaned on my incredible crew of 7 people, including my mom, my husband. But it was just an incredible experience. The Lululemon team put so much time and energy into the product innovations at this event, in addition to research and resources. So we had this robust medical team that was there to support us through all 6 days, which I don't think I would have made it all 6 days without their contributions. And this was largely a women medical team as well. It included Emily Krause, Maddie Giegold, Megan Roach, in addition to Andy Pasternak, who's the medical director for Western States, completely paramount to my performance and like me getting back out there every single day. And then there was tons of research going on. So we were wearing a bunch of different wearable devices, from continuous glucose monitors to Oura rings, Coros heart rate monitors. We ingested core temperature pills. We gave blood samples before and after the event, did muscular fatigue testing, urine samples, you name it, cognitive fatigue tests. So I'm so excited to see the research that comes out of this, because if you look historically at endurance research, women are extremely underrepresented. So I know this project only involved 10 women, but I think it's going to be extremely valuable research that comes out of it. And at least from a personal level, I'm extremely excited to see what kind of information I can glean from what was gathered over the course of 6 days. I think it's going to be stuff that I can implement in my future racing, but I think also just like for future athletes who are kind of going after different endurance goals, I think the takeaways will be amazing. So really cool project. It was a labor of love the last year, tons and tons and tons of involvement, which, you know, was hard at times, but I think seeing the end product was the most fulfilling, like indescribable moment, 6-day moment of my life. So I wouldn't take it back. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to partner with Lululemon on this project, but then also for the other 9 athletes that I got to share the experience with. It's truly indescribable. So cool.
I can't wait to learn more. So many questions.
So much.
It's coming. Teaser.
We were all saying at the beginning, it's just nice to see Leah like vertical again after seeing you. Like every time we've talked this week, it's like Leah on her back with the phone above her head. Like, how can I stay as horizontal as possible? So yeah, progress. But man, we were all so inspired by you just following along. So it's been pretty epic.
Yeah, I sent a congratulations video to Rachel the other day on the day she matched the University of Utah. And she was like, are you still horizontal? I was like, yeah, I'm still horizontal.
As you should be. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you guys, this is so much fun. We are so excited to just dive into more topics. We're going to keep it short and sweet tonight. And just we wanted to really introduce the podcast and kind of just set the tone for what we're hoping to do here. And I'm very, very much looking forward to some of the conversations we have coming down the pipe with all of you and with some of our guests. So we look forward to chatting with you again soon. We are going to be recording every other week right now. So you can look for a podcast on Tuesdays, twice a month. Right now, we're going to do a chat with all 4 of us, and then we're going to do episodes that interview other guests that we bring on. So stay tuned for those. I'll see you guys soon.
Bye. Till next time. Woo-woo.